singing. Your lane may be greeting. And I'm going to tell you, we were at a church last weekend. They were a very small church. But it seemed like everybody was out there. They threw out the red carpet. And I shook more hands going into their church. And when I say their church is small, it was probably just, if you get our section right here, it's just like that. Probably 100 people you could fit into that church. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, they were serving. And they were shaking hands. And they were smiling. And they were saying, I'm so glad you came to church. And we're like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? What I'm telling you, got to find a purpose. Whether it's up here, whether it's shaking somebody's hand, whether it's cleaning the church, whatever it is, you got to find a place where you can work but also worship. I was at Because the Times years ago, and there was a man. You know what his job, you know what his function was? You know what his ministry was? And he was so elated, and he was just like so proud of his job. His job, Brother Martin, was to open the door and close the door. That was his job. He stood by the door, and as soon as you got close, he opened it. And he says, welcome to the Pentecostals of Alexandria. And he shut the door. And he was so helpful. And he smiled. And he had such a wonderful presence about him. You've got to find a place in God and in the kingdom of God. You can find a place to be completely satisfied and work, but also worship when you work. Because that guy was not saying, I wish somebody else would open this door. I wish somebody else would. No, he was there and he was grateful for it. I remember even saying, dude, I can get the door. He goes, no. This is my job. So my question to you, what in the kingdom of God can you do that you can work and you can worship at the same time? You should be able to clean this church and be the only one cleaning this church and still having joy in your spirit. You should be the only one outside mowing the lawn and being the only one that has joy in your spirit. And not saying, those dirty dogs, I'm the only one out here pushing the lawnmower, and I can't believe that. I was mowing the lawn this summer, and someone came up to me, and they said, Pastor, you shouldn't mow the lawn. And I said, well, why shouldn't I mow the lawn? Well, you're the pastor. Well, that's true, but this is my church too. And I'm not mowing the lawn for you. I love you, but I'm not mowing the lawn. I'm mowing the lawn for him. And I'm having fun. You've got to find a place in the kingdom of God where you can work and you can worship. Because Martha got so messed up. She was so troubled. And the Lord said, Martha, calm down. She chose the right part. So if we're going to be a great church, we've got to get the worship part down. We've got to fall in love with him all over again. I don't care if I'm the only one that shows up for outreach. I'm going to go knock doors and I'm going to tell them what God has done for me. If I'm the only one passing out tracts or I'm the only one putting together Project Souls, then bless God, I get to go out there and I get to share with this world what God's done for me. When you get that mindset, guess what? People flock to that. People don't flock to like, Brother Roy, we've had outreach last five Saturdays. Where you been? You know what I'm saying? What I just did, I just gave him a righteous, evil slap. And the Lord's not like that. The Lord's not a condemning God. The Lord's a loving God. It could be, Brother Roy, man, we've been on outreach. Man, last few times, it's been wonderful. I'd love for you to come. And now he's like, oh, that sounds great. Because I have put together worship with working. Somebody shout, worship and work. We'll get the job done. Number two, the second purpose of the church. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is called ministry. Ministry is all about serving others. This church exists to minister to people. Plain and simple. We are here for one reason, love people, and serve our world. When Jesus was at the Last Supper and he was at the table, and I may preach Sunday night about two tables and we may go there, but he was at the table and the Last Supper, no doubt. The last time they were going to break bread with Jesus, and two guys spoke up and they said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And the Lord's like, what? Dude, this is the Last Supper. I'm fixing to give my life to you. And you're wondering who the greatest is and who's going to sit on this seat? Jesus said, I've got news for you. The greatest in my kingdom is the servant of all. Ministering is demonstrating God's love to others by meeting their needs and healing their hurts. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The church is to minister to the spiritual, emotional, relational, and physical aspects of mankind. Jesus said, by all this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you have love one to another. Can I tell you, that's what we're about. It's about loving one another. Somebody said this, if you just sit and soak, you will soon sour. And we got a lot of sour apples on our pews because they have the old adage, R3 and 4 and no more. We had it back in the Brush Arbor days and we don't need any change anymore. We like the people on our pews now. We don't want people that don't look like us. We don't want people that stink. We don't want people that look bad. Really? What kind of church are you looking for? I want everybody on the pew. I want drug addicts on the pew. I want alcoholics on the pew. I want people where their lives are messed up and torn up by this world. Why? Because I know you get them here in this pew and God could change them. God could help them. God could put them back on the straight and narrow. Don't tell me somebody's too far gone. I'm telling you, there is a God that specializes in broken people. And it's our job to love them, not destroy them. What did he say in Galatians? Ye who are spiritual, restore one another. The third purpose of the church is go and make disciples. The church exists to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to put the go back in the gospel, because go is literally translated, you are going. Can I tell you, growth is not optional, it is commanded. And if we're not growing, we're dying. A healthy church is growing. We've got to get this out to this world. Got to let them know, hey, I don't have the answer, but God does. I can't help you out, but if you just come to church, I'm telling you, God can help you. I don't know every, that's a great question you have about salvation. Why don't you come to church and let God, because I'm going to tell you, God healed me. God forgave me. God set me free. Can I tell you, you don't have to know every verse in the scripture. You may even butcher up all of the stories of the Bible. You may say Jonah built the ark and Moses walked on water and Jonah ate a whale. You could say all that and mess it all up, because it really doesn't matter. What matters is, that's what the Bible says, we water and we plant, but it's God that gives the increase. And I hate to burst your bubble, but you can't save anybody. And you can't heal anybody. Let me go. I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. All I can do is deliver the word of God to them. All I can do is get them in contact with Jesus. All I can do is say, come see a man that has shown me all that I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? All we got to do is get them here, and I guarantee you God will do the rest. We got to make disciples. That's what we got to do. We are called to make disciples. We're not... We get messed up. A lot of people say, well, you know, we had a 500 soul revival. We you know, we're going after this and that. And they have crowds and multitudes of people and they're baptizing them left and right. But when a month goes on and 2 months goes on and years goes on, all those souls that they baptize are no longer even coming to church. God's saying, hey, I'm giving you babies to feed and to nurture. When you get a baby here, you got to latch on to them. You know, last Sunday morning after church, what we try to do, and hopefully you guys will adopt it too, is we try to find first-time visitors on a Sunday, and we take them out to lunch. That's what we like to do. And hopefully that'll catch on with you. You'll find somebody you don't know, and you've seen it, say, hey, can I buy you a meal? It may cost you a few dollars. My wife went and asked Leo and his wife and their two kids if they'd like to go to eat with us. And you know what their response was? You want to take us to lunch? Do you know who we are? It's kind of what they're saying. Do you know what we're about? Is what they're saying. And we're like, absolutely. You're the ones we want to take out. We've got to fall in love with souls all over again. And we've got to help them. We've got to teach them. We've got to disciple them. How about this? Don't focus on 500. Focus on one. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, whoever it is, focus on one. And just establish a relationship to where you could say, hey, I'd love to teach you a Bible study. I would love for you to be my guest at church. I would love to take you out to whatever it is. Establishing a consistent relationship. Can I tell you, thank God for two babies that God gave to me. Okay? Can I tell you that when God gave me Tristan, that my job wasn't to say, yeah, I got a baby, and just leave him by himself, okay? Can I tell you the hardest part of, there's a lot of hard parts, but a part I did not enjoy, I didn't like changing his diaper. Any moms or dads? And I don't know how dads got the job of being poop checkers. You think it made a mess? Well, I don't know. Can you check it out? It's like, hello? But my job was to clean up his mess. Because if I didn't clean up his mess, guess what? Infection probably sets in. And he gets all messed up. And you got a baby right there, Brother Reuben, that God has blessed you with. And you've probably had the job already to change a diaper. You know what I'm saying? And you probably haven't liked it. But our job is not to pick and choose what we like and what we dislike on the babies and only begin to minister to things we like. Jesus is saying there are going to be some that's going to cost you some stuff. There's going to be some stuff that you're going to have to go out of your way and you're going to have to help. But if we could just take ownership of just one person, everybody taking one, and you have just given and poured yourself in for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, guess what? If you do it right, that individual that you discipled, guess what they're going to do? They're going to disciple. And now we have tripled because we are about discipling. If we will slow down in life's journey Because there are people that you know, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, restaurant, wherever it is, you could slow down and you could find a need. I came into work yesterday and I really couldn't sympathize or empathize with her, but I understood what she was coming for, and I prayed for her right there in the bank, in the branch, because she lost her dog. Her dog died. And she was bawling, and she was she was beside herself. And I like animals, but I don't love animals, you know. But for her, it was traumatic. And so I just said, you know, my father-in-law, he has dogs, and he cried. And I said, it's going to be okay. Can I pray for you? So we prayed over something. I'm like, really, just a dog? But it's more than that. Do you know what I'm saying? Because what you may seem like it's very insignificant, to them it's a big matter. And so our job is not to be a judge. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm only going to pray for this. No, God's saying, pray for all of it. Slow it down and minister to people and love them and serve. And when you do that, you are about the Father's business. Can I tell you the fourth purpose of the church? And I'm hurrying and I'm almost done, Brother Alex. And that's baptizing them in fellowship. Through baptism, we identify with the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as you've been baptized with Christ have put on Christ. That's what's amazing about what we're involved in. It's a family of God. And when you get baptized, you take on the name. It's like we baptized you a couple months ago or a month ago, right? And your last name changed. And your last name changed to Jesus Christ. We're baptized. We take on his name. We put on Christ. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. It's because our last name is Jesus Christ. And we need a fresh baptism of fellowship. You're my brother, whether you like it or not. You're my sister, whether you like it or not. I may be that crazy brother in your family, but deal with it. Scream for Jesus all you want, and he'll say, Martha, Martha, Martha. He chose the right part. Learn to love. Love is the best thing to do. Teaching them to obey, that's discipleship. And the church exists to edify and to educate. I end with this, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Everybody loves to quote Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Anybody know what Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says? What's Acts chapter 2, 38? Pretty powerful, because in Acts chapter 2, 37, after they heard Peter preach, they said, men, brethren, what must we do to be saved? And so Peter preached Acts 2:38. And then verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far, far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall. Everybody preaches Acts 2:38. And I'm a firm believer in being born again. I believe it takes repentance. I believe it takes baptism and know the name but the name of Jesus. And I believe it's the gift of the infilling gift of the Holy Ghost for us to speak in other tongues. I believe in that. But listen, we can't just be an Acts 2:38 church. We got to be an Acts 2:42 church. So listen to what it says. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. We're not getting away from doctrine. We're staying in doctrine. But we're not just taking one doctrine. But we're going to stay in the apostles' doctrine. And what? Fellowship. Breaking bread. It's okay to hang out and break bread with one another. Matter of fact, we need to do more of that. Bible talks about being kind one to another. But how much more to them that are of the household of faith? You know who your best friends should be? Church members. You know the ones you should hang out with the most? Church members. Because like that old adage, you are what you eat, you are who you hang out with. And if you hang out with carnal folk, you're going to be carnal. You watch carnal things and you're involved in carnal things, and guess what? That's what emanates. But you start hanging around people that love God and love God's kingdom and love to serve and love to worship, guess what? It helps you and it strengthens you. And for us to truly make it, Brother Garcia, we've got to become men and women that come together in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. We start doing that, God starts blessing. Because verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul after they were doing this. And many what? Wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. Well, I can't believe the church just talks about money and giving. It's the blessings. Get God right. That's what happens. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to what? To the church daily such as should be saved. This church exists to edify, encourage, exalt, equip, and to evangelize. We are called not only to reach people, but to teach people and to love people. If we're going to build a great church, we've got to understand it's one soul at a time. It's coming together. It's loving one another. It's worshiping and it's working. If all you do is worship and no work, it ain't going to work. All you do is work and you don't worship, you have missed it. But you put them together. And God says, I'm going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I believe that God is calling every one of us to go back to the very beginning. And the very beginning is this. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. When you start falling in love with Him, you just can't help but tell people what you're in love with. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your voices right now with me? Could you pray, God, would you help me? Help me to be kingdom-minded. Help me, God, not just to see my needs, but to see the needs of others. Help me, God, to find somebody that I can minister to, that I can help, that I can reach out, that I can disciple. Lay a name on my heart, God. A family member, a friend, a classmate, a neighbor, a co-worker. God, I want to reach this world. Help me, God. Give me favor. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Let that anointing that breaks every yoke, let it be on me, God. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Let me be about your business. And let me love people. And let me build a great church. Oh, would you raise your hands all across this building? And would you just say, God, here I am. Use me. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my lips. I'll speak. I'll do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. It's your will. It's your kingdom. Not my will, but thy will be done. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Help us, God, today. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him for just a few minutes. We've got time tonight. God, I love you. I honor you, God. You are great and greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. Your name shall be exalted.
All together one.
we truly fall in love with Him, and it's easy to do His work. It's easy to work in the kingdom. Somebody said it like this: it's easy to live for God hard, but it's hard to live for God easy. And if you'll earnestly pray, God, send me to somebody today. Let me help somebody today. Lead me to somebody that needs prayer. Lead me to somebody that's hurting. Let me be a vessel that you can use. If you start praying those prayers and you'll tune everything out, guess what? God's going to talk to you, and God's going to speak to you, and God's going to direct you. It could be that you pick up your phone. It happens to me many times that after I've talked with God and I've communed with Him and I've stopped and I've listened, and God lays people on my heart. And we have what the disciples never had. It's amazing. Bible says 12 disciples turned their world upside down, right? How'd they get to place to place? They didn't have a car, barely had camels. They walked rugged terrains. We have power in our hands. There are times God puts somebody on my heart and I send out a text and I just say something like, hey, just thinking of you today. Just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. Boom, send it. And sometimes I do one and God gives me another person and another person. And before I know it, I look and I've already hit 10, 15, 20 people. If you'll stop and pray and you'll really ask God, who can I talk to? God will give you somebody. You can pick up the phone and dial and say, hey, I know I haven't talked to you in a while. I know this may sound strange, but I just want to tell you I love you. God laid you on my heart today. And you know what? If God did it for me, He can do it for you. And I just want you to know I'm here for you. Amen. One more time, let's love God. God, we love you today. I pray for your children tonight. I pray, God, that you would empower them. I pray, God, that you'd lead, guide, and direct their steps. I pray you'd give them wisdom beyond their own understanding. I pray you'd give them favor in the words to speak. Let them be sensitive to you, to reach for a world that is in dire need of you. And help us, God, to be the church and go out to this world and love people and serve our world. We do this, God, not for our kingdom, but we do it for your kingdom. Hallelujah. By the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. Bless your people today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Build a great church for Jesus.